Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 1 to 4. And this is where Jesus teaches us about prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Gene. It takes two of us to fill in for Neil Peck when he's gone as we record this. Neil is in another part of the state today, so we're filling in for him. He's in our prayers to make a safe trip back. Well, my opening story for today is a personal story. It's a true story, I know, because I was there. This story takes place in the summer of 1998. It's when my now 30-year-old daughter, Liz, was 6 years old. Now, the summer of 1998, Liz started swimming lessons. She was, at the time, 6 years old. And she loved swimming lessons at the Shenandoah Outdoor Pool. And so she went on Monday and really, really liked it. Tuesday morning came, time for swimming lessons. She couldn't wait to go. And she had so much fun, she couldn't wait till Wednesday. But come Wednesday morning, it was raining. And when it's raining, you cannot have swimming lessons at an outdoor community pool. Well, six-year-old Liz was standing in our living room, looking out from out a ceiling-to-floor giant picture window, just standing there, looking outside at the rain. Standing next to her was her four-year-old sister, Christine. And I walked in the living room and I look and I see the backs of these two girls and they're just standing there looking out the giant plate glass window. Amy, my wife, and their mom walked in the living room and saw them standing in the big window looking out, and Liz said, "Mommy, it's raining. I won't have swimming lessons." Amy responded to her, "It may stop before then, Liz. You still have an hour and a half until they start. Why don't you pray to God to help stop the rain?" That's all Liz needed. Liz bowed her head, folded her hands, and said out loud, "Dear God, please help it stop raining. Amen." Christine, who's still looking out the window, immediately yelled, "Mom, it didn't work." What is the prayer model for six-year-old Liz and four-year-old Christine? Praying for something they wanted, but Christine wanted the results right now. Well, Christine's now matured a lot. She doesn't want results right now. Now she'll give it 5 to 10 seconds. But what about you? You know, we kind of giggle at the kids and tell, "What a cute story." But not much different than us as adults, is it? What is your prayer model? If someone were to write down the times you pray and the way you pray, what would that model look like? Well, I think first of all, you have to think about who taught you how to pray. For we get our models, our methods of doing things by repetition, and usually we're taught by someone. You know, was it a parent or siblings? Was it at church? Did you pick something up out on the streets? I invite you to turn in your Bible to the 11th chapter of Luke. And we start with verse 1. As a disciple asked Jesus for Jesus' model, or Jesus' method for praying. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." John, being John the Baptist, he had followers, of him. And just as he taught them to pray, he had a model. Jesus, teach us your model. We are your disciples. We want to learn from you. So teach us. You've been off praying. What's your model for praying? You see, prayer was a regular part of Jesus' life. And the disciples saw this. And this disciple, whose name we do not know, wants Jesus to teach all the disciples Jesus' way of praying. Now, this prayer Jesus will teach them is not a formula prayer, you know, that, oh, you pray it exactly like this, but more of a how-to. Here, I'll set up what you need to do, and then you fill in the rest. For the Lord's Prayer is not magical words that are to be prayed like an incantation. It's more of a pattern that you follow. So let's take a look at this pattern, beginning in verse 2. For Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, I'm going to stop right there. The first thing in his pattern, the first thing in his model, that first guideline Jesus gives is to focus on God. Now, your heavenly Father, or as the original Greek would have it, Jesus said, Abba, which literally translates to Daddy. That personalness. But what's the first thing you focus on is God. Who do you usually first focus on in your prayers? Well, according to Jesus, who should be who you first focus on? It's God. It's not self. It's not even when it's a good prayer, you know, like you hear a siren and you're focusing on that and helping them. God is the first. But then God takes care of the rest. So the next part in this pattern focuses on who God is. Hallowed be your name. That word hallow, it also means holy. Hallowed defines God. That God is holy. So using the word hallowed means you are calling God holy. And that places God in a whole other realm than just God. Especially when you hear how God's name's used sometimes in profanity and God's name is just thrown out there. Now you're speaking holy God. Puts a different perspective on things in our lives. Puts a whole new perspective when we ask for in our prayers to know we're dealing with holy God. And not just praying for our own comfort. And then Jesus shows us not only who we pray to, but what about in the last part of verse 2. Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom do you usually pray for? Yours or God's? Well, maybe put it more this way. Is God only a part of your kingdom? When you look at your entire life throughout the week, take a look at yesterday or take a look at last week. How often was God a part of your kingdom, of your life? Or do you see that you are a part of God's kingdom? For you pray for your kingdom come. It's not here yet. Hey, I admit I'm as bad as it is a lot of other people. Oftentimes focusing on my kingdom. Where can I get God to fit into it? Instead of, well, where do I fit into God's kingdom? Where do you fit into God's kingdom? That's what prayer is doing. It's searching for where you fit into God's kingdom. Because God has put you here, in this world at this time. And you are good, for you're created by God. So when you concentrate on God and are praying to the Holy Ruler, then your prayers don't become what you want, but focus on what God wants from you. What do you need in your life? What do you need to further along your career, your family, your personal life, your gifts? Well, you have your ideas of what you need. But what are your needs according to God? And speaking of needs, verse 3 deals with our needs. As Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. Jesus, all of a sudden, his pattern says, I'm hungry right now. I need something to eat to continue my prayers. No. What this statement is for is providing for our needs over our wants. For God graciously will supply all you need. Not necessarily all that you want. He'll supply all that you need, and he'll supply it when you need it. H.J. Duffy writes about his daughter in this way when he writes, "My four-year-old was standing on a kitchen chair pulled close to the wall. Intensely, that four-year-old was staring at the familiar painting, Our Daily Bread, which you'll see come up behind me. We're familiar with this painting. It's an older man praying over a bowl of soup and a small loaf of bread. What are you doing, honey?" he asked his daughter. "Looking," she said with a catch in her voice. Noticing she's looking at the picture, but there are tears on her eyelashes. He probed a little deeper. He said, "What are you thinking?" And as she's looking at the picture, she says with a heartfelt sigh, "He doesn't have any peanut butter. She wants him to have peanut butter. But does he need peanut butter? Because, let's face it, once you add peanut butter, is it going to be creamy or crunchy? And then what brand of peanut butter are you going to get? The one that's on sale? Or do you have a favorite brand? I know I have my favorite brand of peanut butter. And then are you going to get the peanut butter that's full fat or the lower fat? Or are you going to get the natural peanut butter or the regular one that you grew up with? And of course, if you have peanut butter, you've got to have some jelly with it. So is it grape or strawberry? And not jelly, but maybe jam. And with the bread, do you eat it with the crust or without the crust? And is it white or whole wheat? Make sure it's whole grain. Or do you have a different type of bread? Understand what I'm getting to? Our wants are endless. And one want leads to another want when it's fulfilled and as you look at it. But our needs are few. Give us this day our daily bread. Our needs. So you are to ask in your prayers to be given what you need in life, not necessarily what you want. And something we each need, we find in verse 4. "Forgive us our sins," Jesus prays, "for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." I love how Jesus puts it in this rendition we have here in the Gospel of Luke. He already knows, hey, "for we forgive those who sin against us." Not that I may forgive them or give me some time to forgive them. No, we forgive them. And Jesus says that God will forgive our sins when we confess them to him. For by the blood of Jesus, you are forgiven. And when you realize the amount of times and how much God has forgiven you, you have sinned in your life, haven't you? Sometimes, I don't know, in my life, it seems like I do it hourly, at least daily. When we realize this, that God forgives us, then you can be charitable to those who have sinned against you. And isn't that what God would want? Isn't that what God needs from you? So here again, we're focusing on the holy ruler, God. We're helping the kingdom to come, for that's done through forgiving. And we're able to help because we get everything that we need, not necessarily all we want. This all flows together in this method, in this pattern. And often, though, when we look at forgiveness, it's tough to forgive ourselves because we've sinned. And when we sin, it's because of things called temptations. We're familiar with those, aren't we? They come every day. Well, the last part of Jesus' pattern points out, "and lead us not into temptation." Now, this has always been a difficult part of Jesus' pattern for me. Lead us not into temptation. Holy God, don't lead me into temptation. Why would God lead us into temptation? God's there to help us resist temptations that are bad for us. Well, God does not lead us into temptation. We do well enough on our own. God helps us triumph over and around the temptations of life. So why phrase it as this? Lead us not into temptations. If God does not lead us into temptations. Well, Hayden Robinson, I think, speaks to this well in his presentation, The Disciples' Prayer. For he says, yes, this is a difficult question. If we don't ask this, is God going to lead us into temptation? Well, I take it that this is what grammarians call litotes. Now, I'll get corrected by grammarians what the word is, but L-I-T-O-T-E-S. And what this word means is, you state something negatively in order to say something positive. And he gives an example. A couple months ago, I was having lunch in one of those New York delicatessens. Right next to me were two women. One was describing to the other the young man her daughter was going to marry. He had completed medical school and had a good practice. He came from a very good family, and she would marry into prestige and wealth. The other woman listened to all this and said, "He's not objectionable, is he?" No, he wasn't objectionable. But that's how she said it. She said it negatively. He's not objectionable, is he? Rather than saying positively, "Wow, she got herself a real catch, didn't she?" When we look at it here, Jesus is taking a look at this and saying this. He knows temptation's a part of our life. And he knows God doesn't lead us to it. But when we are led to it, God is there for us. And no, God does not lead us into temptation. We do a good enough job, as I said, on our own. But it's taken in a more negative way, a positive. That God is there to help you overcome. Is your life objectionable to God? If not, think about it. If not objectionable to God, then I know prayer is an important part of your life. Now, if you take it your life, look at your life and see there are times that are objectionable, then prayer needs to become more a part of your life. And if you find your life is totally objectionable, or you know those who are totally objectionable, then prayer needs to become a necessity in much more of their life. And in your prayers, we have a model. A model where you first praise God and then make your requests. Praising God puts you in the right frame of mind. It puts your soul in that right place to ask God, am I praying for my needs or are these simply wants? We all pray. What model do you use? Do you use the motto of, dear God, I want this? Or, dear God, I want you to do this for me. Dear God, I want. Or do you pray, Holy God, what do you need from me in your kingdom? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. Oh, Holy God, you only want the best for each one of us. But oftentimes what we want is not what you need from us. And when we focus on our wants and what we think we need, we often get ourselves into predicaments and situations that are out of our control. So I invite you to lift up to God a predicament you are dealing with in your life and silently pray for what God's will is for you in the midst of that situation. Jesus' model reminds us not only to focus on ourselves, but also focus on what God needs from us. And God needs for you to care for others, to love your neighbors as yourself. So I invite you to silently pray for one or two others who are dealing with something physical or emotional, maybe dealing with mental health or spiritual care, lift up someone else. And like I said, maybe two others who are searching for God and what God needs from them. And Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for those mourning the death of a loved one. For the need has been, they have been our loved ones, and we care for them. And when they die, it hurts. So we pray for all who are mourning, whether it's recent or the distant past. For they are still a part of our lives, and you're still blessing us through them. We pray for our country and your world. For your kingdom come. For when we look at Jesus' motto of prayer, it's not just for us individually. It's our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. Your kingdom come. The kingdom on this earth. May your will be done, and not certain individuals or certain groups, but your will. Whether it be here in our nation or in the world. For we look at still going on in the Ukraine or the mass shootings, we see they're not looking at you as a holy God. They're looking at you to try and fulfill their wills. That you are just a part of their kingdoms rather than us being a part of your kingdom. But Lord, we also pray for those needing healing, whether it be for physical healing or for a chronic condition they have. We pray for those with upcoming procedures that you've given a gift of healing to doctors and those to be cared for. That is a need of ours, and you have provided for them. And we thank you for that. Now, when we look at it, we are each a part of God's kingdom. And God has blessed you with abilities and gifts to help his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for blessings you are especially aware of in your life today, and how you are a part of the kingdom of God. Lord, when we look at Jesus' teachings, they're there for his disciples to follow. But they're also there for each one of us in today's world to follow. And by having Jesus be a part of our life, God is able to live the life through us, focusing on what God needs from you. So I invite you to ask through a silent prayer for Jesus' teachings to be a part of your life each and every day. The disciples wanted to learn how Jesus prayed, and we, as modern-day disciples, need to follow Jesus' motto of prayer as well. So I invite you to pray this motto with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.